This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Years ago, 1986, 87, a person by the name of Haji Abdullah Magar started a little school. It was in Brisbane Street. Can you all hear me at the back? It was in Brisbane Street. It was a warehouse. It wasn't a proper school. It was a warehouse with a few offices. So he at the time had some money. He put his money into the school, hired some staff. Some Muslim kids came, about 46, probably 52. Small number of kids came. He built a school. Years passed, difficulties came and went. Today, that little school is five big campuses in Western Australia. Those five campuses host more than 5,000 full-time students, more than 500 full-time staff. So now, Haji Abdullah Magar is older. His memory has gone a little weaker and health affects him, and he will not be with us forever. But if Allah accepts this from him, then he has left an amazing thing behind. Every child that comes here to learn the Quran, he gets the reward. To learn science, he gets the reward. To sit in a Jum'ah, he gets the reward. To hear my speech, he gets the reward. That's a beautiful example for me and you, to look for things to leave behind. And it can be something as simple as one dhikr. There was an old man, didn't know much. So he went to a sheikh and said, listen, teach me something simple that I can teach others and they learn it from me. Then when they practice, I get hasanat from it. So the sheikh said, here, teach people to say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. And he told them the hadith that the Prophet said, kalimatani, two words, light on the tongue, heavy on the scale, loved by Allah, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. So this man, if he met you on the street, assalamu alaikum, listen, Habibi, Allah, the Prophet said, kalimatan, Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Say it with me, Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Okay, teach this to someone. So like this, he taught hundreds and thousands of people, you know. Simple, he didn't have books of knowledge. Just one little thing that he was bent on conveying, teaching to someone else. So Allah gave him an amazing ending. You know, when his death came, amazing death Allah Rabbul Izzah gave him. So leave good things behind. My capacity is this, that I give us a dars, and hopefully I leave this behind. Allah accept, Ya Rab. You are my students, all of you here. The haqq of our stars on you is to make dua for them. So there will come a time you will hear of my death. You'll be older. And those times, say, Allah forgive him, Ya Rab, he tried, you know. And if I have wronged you in the process, ask Allah to forgive that as well, because human, Habibi, human, will slip up. Now, to our lesson, this lesson is Isra and Mi'raj. So, Isra in Arabic means a little night trip. You know, in the middle of the night, if you wake up or during the night, you want to go to a little trip and come back, that's called Isra in Arabic, night trip. Mi'raj is ascension, to climb up, to go up. So, Isra and Mi'raj is an event that happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Rasul came to Mecca, to his own people, so he's a Meccan. He came to preach the deen to them, they didn't accept. And they gave him a hard time, they tortured his companions, and a lot years passed like this. And when he lost almost total hope in them, someone came and told him that, listen, there's another city called Ta'if, let's go there and preach. When he went there, he got a worse treatment than here. They pelted him with stones and his head was bleeding, body was bleeding. His shoes were soaked with blood. And around the same time, his wife died and his uncle Abu Talib died. So a lot of pain. Taif happened, wife died, uncle died, and he's feeling the weight of the world on him. So whilst he is with this burden on his shoulders, he says he was sleeping in the house of Umm Hani. And he said, there's many narrations in this, I'm trying to join the lot together. So he said, I was woken by Jibreel. Jibreel came. And he lifted the roof with his hand, like he lifted the ceiling with his hand. And he told me, come. So I didn't go through the door. He made me go, like, he lifted me over the wall. This is one qawl. The other hadith is that either he's left the house of Umm Hani like this, or he's left it normally, but he's come to the haram, to the Kaaba. You know where we go for Hajj? The Kaaba has a little part in front of it. Have you seen that little circle next to the Kaaba, next to the cubic house? It's called Hijr Ismail, low wall. You've been. So he says, I was sleeping in there. So he went back to sleep. And then he goes, the angel came and woke me up again. So he woke up and they said, come. So they took me from there to near where the well of Zamzam is. So in the haram where there's a well for people to drink water, that well of Zamzam, famous well of Zamzam. And they put me down, this lie down here. So I lied down. And then the angel opened me from here to under my navel. Like opened me like this. And the Rasul is away, like he can. And he goes, he pulled out my heart. And then he washed it with Zamzam. And then he had a gold basin with him, filled with something. So he filled, he poured it into my heart and soaked, like put my heart into it. That was the vessel of Iman. Like the vessel, the gold vessel from Jannah is filled with faith. And then he put it back inside my heart. And he sealed it up. He closed my chest. Now, when we used to say this in the olden days, those who couldn't believe, they used to say, what? He opened his chest, pulled his heart out, and the man was still living. So, alhamdulillah, the time passed. And today we see open heart surgery. They open like that, and they pull the heart, and they adjust, and they sew, and they clean, and they put valves in, and they put it back in. But Allah Rabbul Izzah is way above the medical process. He's the creator of it, maker of it, the fashioner of it. The Prophet was at a level where he was cognizant, he was aware that this is happening. And then he sealed it up, got him up, and he said, let's go. So he said, I walked to the vicinity of the masjid, and there I saw a mount. A mount means an animal, like a horse, or a mount tied. It is saddled and bridled. Anyone been horse riding here? So when you go horse riding, there's a saddle, a seat that you sit on at the back of a horse, and it's got bridles for you to manage the horse. So when you go riding, it should have saddle and should have bridle on it. So he said, I saw an animal, white in color, taller than a donkey, shorter than a horse, a little shorter than a mule, but longer. Like its length was longer, but its height above donkey, around mule, white in color and saddled. So this is called the Buraq. This is the ride of the prophets. So the Prophet ﷺ was instructed, get on the Buraq. So he says, and this is in the narration of Imam al-Tirmizi, he said, when I got near it to try to climb onto it, the Buraq moved. It buckled. You know, like when a horse doesn't want you to get on, like it bucks. So because the Buraq bucked. So the Prophet ﷺ is taken aback. So Jibreel puts his hand on the mane of the Buraq. And he says, Ya Buraq, Abi Muhammadin taf'alu hadha? Did you just do this to Muhammad? Don't you know that there is no one of the creation more dear to God than this one? So he said the Buraq started to sweat out of embarrassment. Then the Rasul got on it and he says, this is an animal. So these the reason the Quran says, it says, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlah linuriyahu min ayatina. So the Prophet is down. He's sad. The Allah Rabbul Izzah wants to show him that, listen, this is what you are in reality. And this is the world and the power of your Lord. Don't feel bad about a few little setbacks here. Part of a great plan. So he sat on the Buraq. And as he sat, the Buraq doesn't go like a normal horse or a normal donkey. This one, wherever its eye could see, the foot would land there. You know, a normal horse runs. So this one, like, if I stand here, I can probably see the city. So this Buraq used to look at the city, and next foot used to be in the city. So like that, in a couple of short steps, he was in Baytul Maqdis, in Jerusalem. The distance between Mecca and Jerusalem is a distance of 1 month's journey. In those days, on horseback or camelback, 1 month to get there, 1 month to come back. And they used to trade, so they used to stay there for a while. Normally, the round trip used to take them 3 months. So, but no, a straight ride, 1 month to get there. But the Prophet ﷺ is gone in an asra, night trip, which means his trip will finish in that portion of the night. So he's gone. He said, I arrived in Baytul Maqdis, in Masjid al-Aqsa, Jerusalem. And I tied my buraq on the loop where the prophets tie their mounts. And this is where the current wailing wall is, like near there. He said, I tied it onto that and entered Masjid al-Aqsa. At that time, it wasn't as is today in this shape, but the foundations were there. And there, all the prophets were gathered from the time of Adam to our prophet. And he said, I saw Musa. I found him a tall man, lean man, like not fat, muscular, tall, lean, very curly hair. And he said, he looks like the men of this tribe. He mentioned the tribe, the Prophet ﷺ. And then he said, I saw Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. And he goes, it looked like as though he has just come out of a bathhouse. You know, when you've just had a bath, you've come out, your hair looks wet, and your face looks fresh, and there's a glow on you. So he looked when he came out, when I saw him, as though he's come out of the bath. And they were both praying. Or Musa alayhi salam was praying. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moves forward. The Jibreel moves him to the place of imamat, to the maqam of the imam. And as he's moving forward, Jibreel tells him, he goes, this is Malik on your right. Malik, the warden of Jahannam. He's the one. And he wants to say salam to you. So the Prophet said salam to him, and Malik responded. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led 2 rak'ah of salah and then came out of the masjid back towards the buraq. On the way, 2 cups were presented to him, 2 bowls. One had milk in it, one had wine in it, like choose, O Prophet. So he said, I chose the milk. And Jibreel said, you have chosen nature, like the actual nature of man on which it is, which seeks the unity and oneness and its master. So then from there, I was taken up to heaven. So he went up with Jibreel until he reached the first heaven. And when he goes, we reach the gates of the first heaven, one of its gates. Jibreel asked permission to enter. So the guardian of the gate, like whoever's going to open it, said, "Who are you?" He said, "Jibreel." And he said, "Who is with you?" He said, "Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So he said, "Has he been called? Has he been invited? Is he summoned?" And Jibreel said, "Yes." So he goes, "The gates were open. I went in and the angel said, 'Welcome the best of visitors or the best of those who comes to visit.' So I entered and he goes, 'There I saw a man seated, and on one side of him, on his right, there's a multitude of people. And on his left, there's a multitude of people. And when he turns right, he smiles. He smiles, laughs. When he turns left, he gets sad and he cries.' So Jibreel told him, 'Say salam to him. He is your father, Adam.' So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam greeted Adam alayhi salam, and Adam said, 'Welcome to my noble son and a noble prophet.'" So Jibreel is the teacher of the Rasul. So he said, "What was the story with these multitudes on either side?" He said, "On his right are his righteous offsprings. They are people that he looks at, he feels happy that, you know, my children did good. And on the left are the ones that have gone astray and have fallen into vice and sin and injustice. And when he looks at them, he feels sad and he cries. So the right are the righteous and these the sinners." So he goes, "I ascended," his ascension continues, "to the next heaven, the second sky." He goes, "There Jibreel asked permission to enter." So the guardian said, who is it?" He said, "Jibreel." "And who is with you?" So Jibreel said, "Muhammad." "Has he been invited?" "Yes." The gates opened, the Prophet entered, Jibreel entered, and the guardian said, "Welcome to the best of visitors." And he goes, "I entered there and I saw the two cousins." The two cousins is Yahya and Isa alayhi salam. So this is John the Baptist and Jesus. They are cousins. Their mothers are sisters. So Jibreel said, "Greet them. This is Isa and Yahya alayhi salam." So the Prophet greeted and they responded, "Alaykum as-salam, welcome, noble brother and noble prophet." So from there, he said, "I went to the next one, to the third heaven. And in the third heaven, the same thing happened. The guardian said, 'Who is it?' Jibreel said, 'Jibreel, who is with you? Muhammad, has he been invited?' 'Yes, he has.' The gates opened. Welcome, best of visitors." He went in and he goes, "In the third heaven, I saw," which prophet? "Yusuf alayhi salam." And the Rasul says, having seen him, he goes, "Of all beauty, Yusuf was given half of it." Like if whatever you see beautiful in the world and creation, man, woman and that, and you were to get a beauty in half it and then put all the halves together and then put it in one bag, that would equal to the beauty of Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam, enchanting beauty. Like when he was alive on this world, there was a gathering of women, and his boss was also like the wife of the Aziz, asked him to enter the room. And they all had apples that they were peeling and trying to cut and eat. And when he entered, they looked at him like this, you know. And their eyes were stuck like, oi, yo, you know. And they cut the apple finishes and they cut their hands and they don't realize they've cut it because they're stuck at his face. Later on in life, he used to cover his face so that people are not affected by it. So he says, "I saw Yusuf in the third heaven, And Allah had given him half of all beauty. Some say half of the beauty of Adam, but to myself, half of all beauty. So this was in the third heaven. And then he goes up, we went up to the, this was the third heaven. So he went up to the fourth one. Same thing happened, asked permission to enter. They said, who was it? He said, Jibreel, who was with you, Muhammad, has permission been granted? Yes. Welcome, best of visitors. It goes, at the fourth heaven, I saw Idris alayhi salam. So Idris is one of the early of the prophets. So directly after Adam alayhi salam, just a generation or so on, is Idris alayhi salam. And Allah has lifted him to that heaven. So he goes, we left, went to the next heaven, and there I saw Harun. Harun is the brother of Musa alayhi salam. And then I went from there to the sixth heaven where I saw Musa alayhi salam. And again, the Prophet has described him. It goes, when I met him, he said, welcome, noble brother and noble prophet. And then as I was walking, he started to cry. So we looked at him, what makes you cry, O Musa? Or Jibreel asked him, what makes you cry, O Musa? He goes, strange that this young boy has come and now his followers will be more than mine. So the scholars say, why young boy? Because Musa alayhi salam is centuries ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam age-wise. You know, between Musa and Isa, between Moses and Jesus is 13 centuries. Between Jesus and the Prophet is 600 years. So altogether, some 2,000 years after me. So, you know, if I saw you, if your kids come 2,000 years and I'm 2,000 years old, you could be 16. I'll say, boy, sweetheart, little darling. You know? So he goes, this young boy has come and his followers will be more than mine. So it shows that amidst the prophets, there is this bit of a competition. And that's why the prophet says, increase your numbers so that I could be proud of you in the day of judgment. So after Musa, but there's no malice. You will see that in a second. There's goodwill, but there's a competitive streak there as well. So after the sixth one, he goes, I went to the seventh heaven. So the seventh heaven is the last of the levels. So it goes, there permission was sought. I entered. And there I saw Ibrahim, my father Ibrahim. And he said, the closest in resemblance to Abraham is myself. As in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a close resemblance to our father Ibrahim. So much so, you might not understand this, but I'll explain it. On the night where he was doing his hijrah, where he was leaving Mecca to go to Medina, they went to hide in the mountain. So one of the trackers came looking for him, and they found their footprints at the base of the mountain. So the tracker said, this one here is the footprints of the son of Abu Quhafa, meaning Abu Bakr. This is the footprints of him. And as this other footprints, it's like the one you have in Mecca. Meaning, Sheikh, Maqam Ibrahim. You know the footprint of Ibrahim that is in Mecca? He goes, this one is like that one. Therefore, the prophets that I am the closest in resemblance to my father Ibrahim, even his footprint was the same as the one Ibrahim has left in Mecca. So, he says, I saw him reclining on a house. This is the Kaaba of the heavens, Baytul Ma'mur. And as we tawaf here and visit the Kaaba here, angels visit or go through the Kaaba or the Baytul Ma'mur there. And he goes, when he saw me, he said, welcome to my noble son and noble prophet. And then he said, this is for you guys. He said, give your followers my salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam sends salam to you. And then tell them that Jannah is very fertile. the soil is very good. The water is very, you know, very nutritious. And they need to plant their trees in Jannah. And the plant of the trees, like get it vegetated, get it decorated with trees. And the trees of Jannah are Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And of the trees of Jannah, the qawl of Ibn al-Qayyim, وَمَا فِيهَا مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ إِلَّا وَسَأَقُهَا مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. The trunks of the trees of Jannah is pure gold. And a rider can ride for 100 days or 100 years and will not come out of the shade of it. So majestic creatures. But every time you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, each one of those, Allah plants, vegetates, decorates your Jannah for you. And then he said, I went and I saw in this Baytul Ma'mur, 70,000 angels visit it or cross it or come out of it every day. And when they come out once, they don't get a second chance till Qiyamah come. So, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, he said, the skies are squeaking and they have a right to squeak, because there's not a span this much in distance except an angel is standing on it or is in sajda or is in ruku'. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees this, and then he goes to Sidratul Muntaha. There's a special tree of Sidr. Sidr is cider tree. And he said the leaves were as big as the ears of an elephant, and its colors would change. And so amazing that it overwhelmed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at that level, Jibreel said, this is my, I can't go beyond this. This is my limit. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up by himself. And when he went up, he said, I went to the level that I could hear the pen writing. So the Muslim belief is that Allah Rabbul Izzah created the pen and then ordered the pen to write. So the pen wrote all the dictates of Allah Rabbul Izzah, what is to happen and what was to happen and what will happen into the future, and it keeps writing. So he goes, until I could hear the scribbling of the pen. And then there my Lord gave me the salah, our prayer. And he decreed it upon me 50 times a day. So with this that go, 50 prayers have been written on your ummah. This is our gift, and take it back. So he said, I came back down through the seventh heaven. To the sixth one, I saw Musa again. So Musa alayhi salam came. He says, what did your Lord give you? So I said, 50 prayers in a 24-hour cycle for my ummah. He said, no, go back. I preached to the children of Israel for long, and they were bigger than your people and stronger, and they wouldn't be able to do it, so yours won't be able to do it. Go ask for a reduction. So the Prophet said, I went back and asked for a reduction. So Allah Rabbul Izzah took 10 away, reduced it to 40, and sent me back. So I came back and saw Musa again, and Musa said, your people won't be able to do it, go back. So he said, I went back and asked for a reduction. So Allah made it, reduced it by 10 more. So I went back to Musa, and Musa said, your people won't be able to do it, go back. Notice that there's a lot of goodwill, like he's not setting the ummah up for failure. Nah, you should have asked for 100. You know, goes, go reduce it so your people can do it. So he reduced it by another 10. And then eventually, another 10. So 40 was taken, 10 was left. Then he went back to Musa again. So he said, reduce it. So he went back and Allah reduced it by 5. I know the story, you normally hear is 5, 5, 5, but the rajih is the 10. So he reduced it, And then at 5, when he came to Musa alayhi salam, Musa said, your people won't be able to do it. Go back. So he said, nah, Allah, on the 5th one, Allah said, it is 5, but the reward will be the reward of 50. So he said, I'm too shy to go back to my Lord. So he came with the 50, with the 5 prayers back to us. And he came back down and he saw other things in that night. So for example, he said, I saw a river, an amazing river. And it on both sides was populated with cups. And the cups were made of pearls. And the pearls, without any blemishes, like, you know, you get pearls which have dents and cuts and cracks. Perfect. And all along both sides. And I saw near it a palace. The palace is made of pearl and another gem called Zubarjad. So I said, Jibreel, what is this? He said, this is Kawthar. You know that Allah says, Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar. This is Kawthar. This is what your Lord has promised you. And the cups are where your ummah will come and drink from this. And when they drink from it, they'll not thirst ever after it again. So he saw Jannah. And he saw glimpses of Jahannam. He said, I saw in Jahannam people with claws of iron or copper. And they were scratching their faces and their chests. And when they used to scratch, it used to tear through the flesh. So I said, what is this, O Jibreel? So Jibreel said, these are people who used to slander, backbite, defame others. So a person is living, doesn't know what is happening, and someone is tearing his reputation behind his back. So he said, their manifestation and their is like this, that Allah Rabbul Izzah will give them this in the Akhirah. They will tear their faces in the Day of Judgment and in the Akhirah. So he saw many signs. And imagine what it did to his head and what it did to his heart and what it did to his motivation. And with this, he came back, heaven after heaven, and back to Masjid al-Aqsa, Jerusalem. And from there, he got on the Buraq and made the journey back to Masjid al-Haram, to Mecca. And he said, on the way, I saw the grave of Musa. So the grave of Musa alayhi salam was lost. Like, they're not able to locate it. He said, I found it, and I saw him praying in his grave. And then coming closer to here, to Mecca, I saw a caravan, travelers. And one of their camels had gone astray. And one of them was lying down and there was a bowl of milk next to him. So I went and I asked for the milk and I took some of the milk and drank it and covered the lid. And then got back on the Buraq and came here. So this is the story of Isra and Mi'raj. Now when he came back to the house, it's still night. In the morning, he told Ummahani, the lady who is his house is in, you know. And he said, you know what happened last night? I went from here to Jerusalem and I prayed 2 rak'ah there. So she started to panic, the poor lady. And he said, oh Prophet of God, listen, don't say the story to anyone. Like, there's gonna be a mess outside. It's gonna burn through Mecca. Everyone's gonna be joking, you know, making memes. Do you know what the latest one is? He went to Jerusalem and came back in the middle of the night. So the Prophet said, no, by Allah, I will say it. So he got up and he walked out and he started telling the people, last night I went from, and obviously as soon as people heard, this is it's going, you know what Muhammad, we know what he's saying now. He's went to a month apart that way, and a month distance return. So 2 months, and he's covered it, and then prayed, and then come back. So as this started to go around, and the laughters and the mockery started, Muslims heard of it as well, and they don't know what to do. Like, we know where Jerusalem is, it's 2 months away. And a big test of faith. So here Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, did he say this himself? They said yes, because if he said it, then it's true. Because whatever he says is true. And why wouldn't I believe that he's gone there when I believe that from the heavens, which is further, Jibreel comes to him in an instant. And then the Prophet ﷺ, people have gathered around him. He's in the haram and there's a commotion. Tell us. So he said the full story. And at every level, like at every sentence or two, Abu Bakr will say, Sadaqt. Wallah, he speaks the truth. And the people then, shocked, people like, why is he still going with the story? And then he gave the signs. So historically, the Prophet has never been to Baytul Maqdis. He's never been to Jerusalem. So they go, okay, if you went, then describe it to us. So the Prophet said, ask. So they said, describe the door. So he said, it was as though I am looking at it now. Jibreel has brought it. And the Prophet ﷺ describes its little bits and cracks and scratches and, you know, little points, and their jaws are, you know, dropped like, and they ask him about this side, and he can go and talk about this side and a missing piece here, and he's able to. So now the laughter and the noise quiet and down, like, hold on, like, did we just magnify a miracle that could have otherwise, you know, just we would have overlooked? Like, the commotion has now put a highlight on this issue. So he goes, hold on, it's more. There's a caravan coming. I met them on the way and I took milk from them and drank it, and they will be here in so many days. So they said, okay, we'll wait for the caravan. And eventually the caravan comes. Days passed and it comes and they see. And they say, yeah, we saw and this is what happened. And confirmation of Isra and Mi'raj. And Allah Rabbul Izzah says, so we can show him our amazing signs. So every part of this journey is a miracle. And then years would pass, and the Prophet ﷺ from time to time would give us other bits that he recalled or that was relevant to us, step after step like that. And this is that is left to us now, alhamdulillah, we as this generation, that some 14 and a half centuries later, we still get to reminisce and talk about this Isra and Mi'raj. And I would like to give my thanks to Mr. Jacobs for initiating this. And I think it's been a beautiful sit down. If you have any questions, ask, and otherwise I'll dismiss you.